Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live across the United States of America, across Europe, across the world, this is David Duke. And I especially am calling out to the people of Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia, who are all in very easy driving distance. Some of you, in fact, further away can do that, even from different areas of the South and the Southeast. As well as some of the middle states, you can get there. You can get to Auburn University, Auburn, Alabama, in just a few hours. And it's worthwhile going to support Richard Spencer and his canceled speech and his demand to be able to be heard. He's also filed a suit in this thing. So here it is. I'm going to make a direct call right now, like an SOS call from a ship somewhere. Calling all patriots, everybody who's dedicated to preserving our heritage, our rights, our freedom in this country, everybody who's against this insane war in Syria, everybody who really and truly believes in freedom of speech and press and conscience in America and the right of every point of view to be heard, including ours, including the point of view of the founding people of this country. We urge you to head to Auburn, Alabama, and the university there. It'll be a lot of press about it. You'll find out where to go very quickly. Just turn on your radios and see what's happening. And support Richard Spencer in this fight. The Antifa is supposed to show up. And the more people that show up in support of Richard Spencer and true freedom of speech, the better. Better for him, the better for us. And that's what we are. We're really in a battle for freedom of speech in this country. So we wish Richard Spencer, the very best, and we know that this is an important event, and I really urge you, if you're in driving distance, to go there and support Richard Spencer, and the more people are there, the safer it is for his people, the safer it is for all of us, so it's very, very important. If you can get there, get there. So he's got a legal team with him. He's already filed a suit. There is probably a 10% chance that they'll let him use the hall. If we can win that victory, that's great. If not, we can show that there's people in this country who are waking up, that we have taken the red pill, and we're going to stand up for our rights. It's not simply, there's a lot of you out there, and a lot of us, and this is my whole life, too, the experiences that I've had. There's a lot of people. There's so many millions of people out there who agree with everything that I say here in this show, who agree with the things that Richard Spencer says, who are fine with agreeing. They're fine with saying, oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. It's so true. I remember campaigning, and I would talk to people and say, well, okay, the truth is that they have an intention to outnumber us and outvote us in our own country. If we don't stop this and stop this massive immigration, we're going to lose control over our country. If we don't raise our voices against these insane wars in the Middle East, we're going to have more hundreds of thousands of Americans with traumatic brain injuries, like from the Iraq war and the war in Afghanistan, that's according to the Pentagon. We're going to have trillions of dollars of our money expended. And we're going to have the interests of this country and the focus of this country by our coincidence of the media, of the control of the media, they're going to be focusing on these kind of things. Like, these are the enemies. Those people in Syria, like Assad, for instance, who is a man who is a secular leader, is totally against ISIS and al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda. Last time I checked, I thought al-Qaeda was our deadly enemy who blew up the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and hijacked planes. I thought they were supposed to be our dead enemy, but we're actually supporting ISIS, al-Qaeda in Syria, right? Come on. This is facts. It's clear. There's no argument about it. If we don't start standing up, and it's important to get into the streets, and it's important to make a visible show of support, not just a virtual show on the internet, it's really important to also go into those areas. So I urge you, if you possibly can, if you have to take a day off from work, and we hear this excuse, well, I gotta work. Well, let me tell you, you've taken off work for lesser things probably in your life. This is about the future of yourself, your children, your country, your people, the world, Western civilization, really, and every value. The beauty of your children and your grandchildren, the way they look, the way they feel, the values that they hold. The values have already been perverted in this country. They've already been taken over. Hollywood, as Neil Gabler says in his book, An Empire of Their Own, he talks about the, quote, Jewish takeover of Hollywood. Hollywood has already been taken over. And they've been preaching and teaching. And one reason we're in this big mess is because they've been preaching and teaching this sick system. They made us sick with the food they promote, actually, in the media, all the junk food, which you didn't used to do. It's just crazy to think about how much they have perverted every aspect of healthy, normal, good life. They glorify to young kids, sadism. Sadism, that's right, torture, masochism, sexual degeneracy, and make that the norm. Like, that's perfectly okay, and maybe you should try it. That's basically what they say. They promote drug use among our kids. They promote destruction of our people. Every time you see a couple practically now in the commercials of this country, even though it's a tiny percentage of the overall marriage rate, you see, like, a black man and a white woman, or vice versa, it's just every time. They sell a car, and it's some brother with a white girl driving, or the brother's driving and the white girl's by his side looking up at him with awe. This is the kind of stuff they preach. But do they have that kind of stuff Israeli television? No way. If an Israeli woman goes out and tries to marry or even date a black person, she's liable to get beaten up. Or even if he's just a Palestinian, not only black, if they're black, they're even worse. And black so-called Jews, which they don't give full rights there, have a lot of trouble. They put posters up in the subways, and they're not torn down because this is the theme of the country. Doesn't even allow a marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. This is stuff they preach for us. So anyway, we get out there, and if you possibly can, go to Auburn, Alabama, the university there, a great university. Go there and support Richard Spencer and support really freedom of speech and your future. So I'd like to take this opportunity today to talk a little bit about the alt-right and what we must do to win this battle. At an early age, when I was still a teenager, I began to see, and people of my values and issues have been noticing this for a long time, it is easier, or it seems to be easier for people not to talk about the Jewish question. And if they do talk about the Jewish question, sometimes they do it in a very raucous and tough way, not in a satirical way, which the Stormer, and there's place for satire and humor, even very hardcore humor, especially when we have a society that uses bad words and is very, we have a humorous culture now in this country where you say tough words. I mean, you often say obscenities, you say tough words, and that's the culture now that young people are so used to using and hearing the F word. I don't use it. I don't promote that. But people are used to very hardcore comedy because we've lowered our standards. But that is the culture. And if you have to use hardcore comedy and satire to break people's kind of, so to speak, wake them up, shock them into being awakened, then I'm all for it. So I don't object to things like The Stormer, which has very deep satire and very hardcore humor. But at the same time, for the average person who's trying to speak in their, and if they're in politics and they're in academia, you don't want to take that approach for what you say to the people at the university or what you did. That's not what you're trying to do. You can make a joke, but you don't need that kind of humor. What you got to do in those cases is put forth the truth, which is very reasonable, and the reasonable truth is, and also it's good. Frankly, I don't have any problem with people doing it. Some people have to go just hardcore in the sense of the realities of things, but there's a lot of ways to say the same things without evoking the trigger words. Now, see, the Jewish media, the Jewish dominated media, and again, when I say Jewish is a good idea, a perfect example. Those of you are used to that word, and it's a kind of amazing. You can't say Jews as an entity, as a group, without saying, "Oh my God, that's anti-Semitic," right? That's anti-Semitic. So, But the truth is, we talk about groups all the time. We say the Russians are doing this. We say, oh, the Iranians are going, whatever, are making this mistake. The Palestinians, But if you say Jews, then you're accused. But of course, when you say a group like the Jews, what you're really not saying all Jews, you're saying that the group as a whole is a group. This is what's going on. So the thing is, if you're in a position of academia, or you're just talking to someone of education and at your work, you don't even to say like the Jews are doing this, No, you begin just by saying, that the Jewish establishment is doing this. The Jewish elite is doing this. And by doing it that way to a new person, you open their mind and the doors, because you're not doing those trigger words of, quote, anti-Semitism, whatever that means. Anti-Semitism is presented as the idea that you hate all Jews and you want to hurt all Jews or kill all Jews and this kind of thing. They always use the stereotypes of the National Socialists or, of the Holocaust and all the rest of that. When you're simply talking about a reality of life, you're talking about the Jewish establishment. And is there a Jewish establishment? Is there a very powerful force that advocates for what they see as Jewish interests? Obviously, there is. You read the Forward magazine, which is produced by Jews, the Jewish Daily Forward, which used to be a full-bore communist Jewish publication. Now it's just a full-bore Jewish publication because Jews have now shifted pretty much from the communist narrative. They still try to control the communists so they don't go against them, but they're losing some of that too. But they've shifted to this narrative of Israel and the Jewish people because they can get away with it now. They get so much power. So even the Forward says that these Jewish advocacy organizations and Jewish groups that fight for the Jewish interest and the benefit of the Jewish people and for Israel, that these groups are worth $26 billion advocating for Jews. They have thousands of organizations that fight for what the Jewish interests are. So we know the Jewish establishment exists, right? We know that these groups fight for it. But you notice we have a Jewish-dominated media that where it's absolutely improper and considered evil for any group to say to stand up for the white majority of America, are basically by ethnicity for any organization that supports and defends the European American people. In some ways, they promote some sort of ethno-nationalism, a degree of it, because they see that as a wedge. So they're never trying to stop the idea that blacks are being victimized and Mexican Americans are being victimized by white people, because they know that to control America, the two main competing groups are this tiny Jewish percentage with this big influence and this very great number European Americans. The reason why Trump won is because he mobilized the European Americans. And we're going to talk about Trump in a second too. And I'm going to get in a good discussion with Patrick Slattery about the basics of this. So here you have these Jewish establishments. So we know there is a Jewish establishment. We know they spend countless hundreds of millions, in fact, billions of dollars on advocating their thing. They are not only tied in together in the United States and in Canada and in Europe and individual European countries for Jewish interests, but they're tied in globally. They have the World Jewish Congress, and they have meetings of Jews from all over the world to discuss what their global agenda is. What agenda are Jews going to be united together with in the world to support Jews? So there is a Jewish establishment. No argument about that fact. We know also that there is a Jewish nationalism, a Jewish pride in race, a Jewish superiority preached among Jews for Jews. And we know that there is a constant, chronic refrain about how Jews are the victims of horrible Gentiles who want to persecute them. So Jews are being taught, every Jew as well as every Gentile is being taught, the Jews are the biggest victims of the world on the Holocaust and all this. They don't talk about the 65 million people or the 60 million people, non-Jews, who died in the Second World War because the Jews desperately wanted a war, both for Israel, both to destroy their enemies in Germany, and both in some ways to save their communist chestnuts from the fire in Eastern Europe. So they didn't want Germany to be successful. And yes, so we sided with a country that already killed 20, 30 million people, and enslaved countless others, tortured you know, far more people than that. And communism was being spread all over the world at this time in the 1940s. We're being spread into South Africa, which it was successfully overthrew the government there. It was being spread into South America, Central America, Cuba. I mean, we can go even further. That came off in the next few years. But what were we doing? We were supporting communism against a country, Germany, that wasn't trying to take over the world, really. I mean, and you know that by now. I hope you know that. That was just all propaganda. They weren't doing that. They were trying to reunite their own people who were taken away from them from the First World War. And they were no more guilty of the war. In fact, the World War started when countries such as Britain and France declared war on Germany. That's what really made it a world war. So, and maybe there's some things Germany could have been done in recognition of this Jewish power that maybe could have avoided the war. Maybe they should have tried to harder to avoid the war, be a little more patient. Eventually, they would have got their country back for sure. But there were a lot of atrocities going on, too, in this process against the Germans. But at the same time, we got to realize that this war had fault of all parties. And even some very fine British historians like Trevor Roper, many others, have gone into that fact that the Second World War, like the First World War, was entangling alliances. So we do know there's a major Jewish establishment. We know that even back in the First World War, that the Jewish establishment and the Rothschilds signed an agreement with the British promising Palestine for Jewish immigration, but to respect the rights of the Palestinians. Ha, ha, ha. You know, that's just how they make a sale. Oh, yeah, you can buy the car. We'll give you the discount, but we're not going to stand by whether the car's engine is going to run for more than 5 minutes. So they got the Balfour Declaration out of that. And the deal was that they brought America into the war because they recognized the Jewish deep state in America, even in the 19-teens. They understood the Jewish infiltration, take over the media, like the New York Times is a perfect example. The Jewish industrialists, not even industrialists, they're really the bankers. The bankers that had infiltrated the Wilson regime, like Bernard Baruch, who was one of the top advisors to Woodrow Wilson, big Jewish Wall Street banker. Jacob Schiff, who was very, very powerful in American politics and American media, who was a Zionist and also a communist who financed the Russian Revolution. So they saw that. So, okay, so now we've established, you know, that there is a Jewish establishment. Right, in America. It's an organized establishment. Now, what is the role of the Jewish establishment? What is the positions of the Jewish establishment? Well, that's easy to determine, my folks, my friends. All you got to do is just go in and look at the Jewish establishment, look at the organizations involved, those big organizations the Ford's talking about, and find out that they're unanimous for like open borders for America, but support of Israel, which has tight borders. Taking the refugees into Europe and America, but not taking a single refugee in Israel, yet Israel is geared up at any moment to take hundreds of thousands of refugees, but only if they're Jewish, because they have a Jewish ethno-state, right? That they're against gun control, or they're for gun control in America, they're against gun control in Israel, right? But the Jewish establishment is overwhelmingly, and every major Jewish organization is for taking away your guns. The Jewish establishment is overwhelmingly for abortion, but abortion is much more difficult in Israel. These poor women there have to go through this huge process, which they would never want for America. They have intermarriage. They condemn anybody who wants to preserve their heritage in America, according to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ABC, and CNN, and CBS. If you want to see your grandchildren to look something like you and your forefathers, you're an evil, evil person. But if you're a Jewish organization, you spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that your kids are Jews, and not Jews simply by religion. No, no, no. It's about race. Because they don't concern themselves if a Jew is an atheist, and a guy who says he hates God. They only concern themselves about a Jew, right, who's not a Jew, who's actually not a Jew by blood. So they preserve it. But there's no discussion of that. So we can see their position in these wars. The Jewish establishment was for this insane war in Iraq, and they're for this insane support of ISIS in Syria. It's obvious there is a Jewish establishment. You can talk more if you use a prefix or suffix about Jews. If you're at work or at school, you can get away with it a little better, and you can open people's minds, because when you just say the word Jews, or this guy's a Jew, it kind of plugs in this associative conditioning that we've been facing for so many years in our society by the Jewish-controlled media. And it makes people kind of tune out and block out. Oh, this guy just hates Jews. But if you talk about Jewish extremism, you talk about Jewish racism, you talk about Jewish radicalism, you talk about Zionism, this is it's called a segue. It is enabling you to get to the core of the problem, because eventually you begin to understand that this is essentially a tribal entity. This is a organized, extremely well-financed, extremely dedicated entity that, if you read their books and literature and their statements, you realize they consider themselves like going on to with the constant war with us, that they're fighting for their Jewish survival. They're fighting for their Jewish interests, and Gentiles are about ready to get rid of them instead of an idea of even advancing certain ideas. And they're totally hypocritical, because here's the people who are the most racist on the planet, the most supremacist on the planet. They support this Jewish ethnostate while at the same time they act like it's just terrible if Europeans in France want to preserve French culture and French people, or Germans want to preserve German people. Oh my God, that's evil. Or British want to preserve British heritage and people. So why is this? Why, if they know that it's important for them to preserve their heritage and to fight for their interests, why do they so much not want Europeans and people of any country in the world, for that matter? They want us all to be kind of multicultural. Why don't they want us to preserve our particular heritage and fight for our interests? Well, isn't it obvious, folks? Just use your head. Because if they're fighting for their interests and they're a small minority, how do they control America and push America into these Jewish wars and for their policies, whether it be about the international bankers like Goldman Sachs? How do they do anything like this unless they convince us, unless they brainwash us into saying that if we stand up for our interests as a people, that we're bad people? So we're going to take the break. We're going to come right back with Dr. Patrick Slattery, and we're going to have a little discussion between Dr. Slattery and myself about Donald Trump, and we'll try to make heads or tails about what's really happening with the Trump administration. Is Trump who we're fighting for, or is it the Trump doctrine? Is it Trump as a meme that we're fighting for? And I tell you something, folks, only we, by voicing this message, can save Trump from the things inside of him that want him to give in for his own self-survival, because they're putting the screws on him big time. And there's been a Zionist coup in the White House, for sure. We'll be back in a minute with Dr. Patrick Slattery. Okay, folks, this is David Duke. And by the way, you can communicate with me directly and very quickly through davidduke.com. And you just, how you can contact David Duke, it's right on the right. It's a widget. You press that and you can send me an email. And I'm anxious to read your emails and thoughts. And by the way, I have a mailbox. It's full. In fact, this is one of the most listened to shows in a while, I'm telling you, because, oh man, I must have 150 emails just in the last 15 minutes, the first 15 minutes of the show. So we're getting a lot of, here's a person saying, you know, thanks for the heads up about Auburn. I'm heading there now. I'm already in my car. I've just grabbed, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. There's a whole bunch of them like that. Say, I'm going to support Richard Spencer and free speech and ultimately our country, our future, and my children. That's the kind of response that we're getting right now. And it's great to hear this. And it's not that hard. I mean, there's a lot of people within 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, 5 hours drive. It's worth it. He's going to have this confrontation kind of, but it's going to be open. There's going to be lawyers there and plenty of police there. You know, it should be safer. The more people that show up, the safer it is for everybody. It's like has been said before, either we hang together or we hang separately. So I urge you to make plans. Just do what you got. You know, grab your wallet, you know, put on your pants, get out the door and, you know, get some gas in your car and grab a friend or two if you can and head out. Don't worry about it. Just head out. Okay, let's go into Trump. I've got Dr. Slattery in the line with me. Hi, Dr. Slattery. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. A little bit worse for the wear and tear of tax preparation. Yeah, but I'm fine.
Well, nowadays you got to draw a living, doing that kind of stuff because of the, you know, the lack of freedom of speech in academia today.
It is freedom of speech. It is a freedom of speech issue, absolutely.
So you're preparing taxes part of your time, and you know, I wish you would be, you know, I wish you were able to spend all your time, and but you do so much work as it is. I mean, and that's what people have to understand here. And we, you know, we try to supply you with a little bit of help, you know, everything for, and it's very low. I wish we could give more. And that's what,
and the funding, I pay taxes on it, believe me.
Yeah. And that's what the funding out here does when you support us. And right now, the Zionists have put, man, they demonetized my videos. They're working to even block people's right to even give us donations or gifts electronically. I mean, there is a lot going on here, and it's a bad thing, you know, and it's, I can't tell you how much, in fact, the people who can really help, how much their help can do, how much their help means, because the truth is, it's not only the small contributions, and we appreciate every dollar, you know, every $100 contribution, but let me tell you, it's those big ones, and that's the way it is with every fundraising group around the world, every presidential campaign, every, you know, every serious fundraiser. The things that really make the difference are those really big contributors, and there's not that many of them. And if you have the ability to do that, you know who you are. And you can make long-term gifts that way, too, in a legacy. You can leave money in your will, on your bequest. You can put us on your insurance policy. And you can just say, hey, man, I'm going to send you all a gift. You can even send it anonymously if you want. I don't think you need to. We've never had anybody, you know, revealed it was private in what they're doing. We follow the law because giving a personal gift to someone is not reportable to any entity. All right? Simple as that. So you can give whatever you want, and we can use it for this work. Now, let's go into, I'm going to start with a couple of words here, Dr. Slattery. And we talked earlier about the overall picture. I've tried to weave a picture so people can get it right now on why the issue before us. There is a monumental struggle. Now, all the people that think that the struggle is between, say, white people or European people and black people or Mexican people or African people or Muslim people, evil, that this is what the battle is. Well, in a sense, it is, because a lot of these groups are being used as shock troops. But the real battle, actually, and it has been this way for, in many ways, the last 2,000 years on many fronts, the battle is truly between the Jewish establishment, both religious and secular, the Jewish power structure, the Jewish banking structure, the Jewish influence in governments, both overt and subvert, and European mankind. It's really a battle, ultimately, at the core of it, it's a battle between European mankind and the Jewish tribalist supremacists who seek not only their own country of Israel, Dave, they seek to dominate the media, the central nervous system of our society, the globalist media, both entertainment and news. They seek to dominate, obviously, banking, which is a huge source of free stolen money by the trillions in our economies, and there's no exaggeration there, and to control our politics by bribing and influencing and basically buying the politicians, as well as making the climate so bad in the media that the politician that dares to stand up to them will be eviscerated, will be barbecued, you know, by the media. So this is the struggle. The reason why we have a Muslim immigration problem is not because the Muslims changed our ideas. It's the Muslims haven't been the ones, right, who taught us to hate ourselves and who taught us to say it's going to be great when there's no more white people in the world. If you really think about that, it's really stupid, isn't it? And these are the same liberals that often say, man, we got to, you know, they always celebrate the diversity and they celebrate this black family. Say, aren't they beautiful? And you, and a black couple with a little black baby comes into a McDonald's and the white liberal woman says, isn't that the cutest thing? I just love black children, you know, and all this kind of stuff, right? I just love black babies. They're so beautiful. They're just so wonderful. And then a white couple comes in with a beautiful blonde or brown-haired child with white skin and beautiful eyes and hair and, you know, just the way they are in terms of their own culture, and it's no big deal. You ever seen that? I bet most of you have seen that. That's the cultural programming, see? So this is the struggle. The Muslims have not, they're not the ones who've taken over the media. And it's not like Alex Jones says, sorry, Alex, you say some good things, but the Nazis have not taken over Hollywood. Hollywood is not so-so white. It's so-so Jewish. So the source and the academia, we've talked about it so many times, Dr. Slattery has been taken over. So the real issue here, the real battle, is whether or not Jews control the Western world and thus the world, in effect, or whether we gain control over our own destiny, our own nations, our own culture, our own values, and really survival of our own children, because our people are being ethnically cleansed, even from our own homelands and the nations we created. We made America what it is. We wrote the Declaration of Independence. We gave us the Constitution. We gave the culture that created what we call America, our Constitution, our values, our industry, our medicine, our arts, you know, all this stuff, literature, everything. And we're facing our very existence. And we're facing our existence by a people who are telling us it's evil for us to do that while they themselves are all about preserving Jews. There you go. So that's the core battle. Now, Trump, we got to talk a second about this. And I'm trying to get just some time because I want to get your comments. We will discuss this definitely after I finish this. Give me another 5 minutes, folks. And Patrick, please be patient. Another 5 minutes.
I'm very patient. And I'm taking notes.
I want to outline the Trump thing. Okay, look, we and people like me and people like Dr. Slattery and the alt-right made the difference. In fact, even Forbes magazine did a story, the 10 most pivotal parts of the election and the Trump victory. One of those pivotal points was, they said it, not me, David Duke came out and endorsed Trump. And they talked about the fact that this seems counterintuitive, like, oh, yeah, the fact that they said that this former KKK leader, popular political leader in the early days, you know, Louisiana, came out for Trump, that you'd think this would be a bad thing for him. But the truth is, it was like it's like a truth test for Trump. It was like people saying Trump is the real thing. This guy is really one of us. He's going to fight for us. If David Duke's for him, man, you know, this is the real deal. This is just not one more politician. Now, unfortunately, it sometimes, you know, you think he's becoming one more politician. And in some ways, he really has become, you know. But this is a result of two things. I don't think Trump's even doing what he necessarily wants to do. He's been under incredible attack by the media. And they're not talking just about not blocking his programs. They're calling him a spy. They're saying that he should be arrested for treason when it's really Clinton and Obama and the rest of these people should be arrested for treason. And the neocons right now, even McMaster, in trying to support this incredible, you know, power and vicious power of ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria by helping them by going against the Assad government, which is a pro-Christian government, have Christians in the cabinet, that this is the real treason to support the biggest enemies of our country, even according to our government. That's what's going on. But Trump is under such withering fire. He's been in a situation like, my God, not only are they going to, you know, block my programs, I'm not going to get anything done, but they're going to impeach me, they're going to imprison me, they're going to destroy my empire. The next thing I'll know, I'll see my real estate empire go into the hands of the happy merchant, Mr. Jared Kushner, radical Jewish individual from, by the way, a longstanding, very, very corrupt Jewish elite family. His father, of course, was guilty of felonious, massive frauds against the American people and thousands of Americans. This is what's really going on right now, and you see this happening. So what our job is, in my opinion, is we've got to save Trump from himself anyway. He's just under this withering fire. He's trying to, like a guy that's being attacked by a gang, and he just pulls up in a ball, fetal position, and tries to keep himself from the blows, you know. But ultimately, that kind of strategy is not going to protect you when you have a few people attacking you. At some point, if you just stand up and fight, you have a chance to survive. If you just let them go at you and you don't fight back, you don't. And that's pretty what he's in right now, is the fetal position. If right now, we have to also understand that Trump is still doing some good things. He is still rounding up a lot of illegal aliens, all right? And he's still an image of fighting immigration. And we did win a victory, and we flexed our muscles in the sense, and we learned that we could win an election. If Trump betrays us, We're not going to support Trump. But right now, if we're the ones trying to get rid of him, who's there to replace him? So what we've got to do, folks, in my opinion, is hold Trump's feet to the fire and understand and preach to our people that it's not Trump, the individual, whether he's good or bad in personal qualities, that's important to us, but the Trump doctrine. And like Ann Coulter said, it's the Trump doctrine. It's the Trump promises that we're so devoted to and we're supportive, not Trump the man himself. But we've got to make him understand that, first off, giving in to these people will end up destroying you because they won't stop. They're going to hate you no matter what, just like they you know, made Nixon resign in disgrace years ago, because they had it out for Nixon, like he said himself so many times. They had it out for Nixon for years, and he himself admitted that these Jews were controlling the government and the Jews were his real enemy, the Jewish state. He couldn't say it publicly, but that's the same old story again and again and again. Everybody knows the truth, but nobody talks about it. The time's coming, and the time is here where we talk about it. And the truth is that even Trump's mistakes and bad, terrible things, which are so wrong to attack these heroes who are fighting ISIS in Syria, all that's really done, though, is it hasn't had a huge impact upon the Syrians themselves, but it's had a huge impact of awakening America and making the world of Jewish power. It's influencing him and the Jewish power of the media and the political establishment against him. So let's make some comments and let's have a discussion, Dr. Slattery.
Well, you're so right to focus on freedom of speech. And in the last hour, Don Advo was talking about that too, with regards to tax. He's out there in California, and California's famous for having had tax revolts. And he was asking, you know, really, what has come of that? What are we getting from focusing on taxes? The real issue is freedom of speech. You know, you can think of wars. Wars are big. Taxes, immigration, these are big. But why do we have these problems? And it really is a freedom of speech issue. We just witnessed within the past couple of weeks a Jewish coup d'etat, what I call a Jew d'etat. But we can't talk about...
Would you repeat that for our audience? That is such a great phrase. It's almost as powerful as when you talk about the Supreme Court and the courts by what's happened to Trump. The judiciary. Now you've got another good term. I mean, that's my term, but here's your term, and it's just as good. Go ahead.
The Jew d'etat. It was a Jewish coup d'etat. It really was.
Jew d'etat. I love it.
We can't talk about it. And why do Jews have so much power? It's because we can't talk about it. There's no freedom of speech there. Why am I not in academia? I was a political scientist. And what do we study? We study political power. Who has the political power? It's the Jews. Can we talk about it? No. I might as well have been Galileo in the early 1600s, not being able to talk about the sun being at the center of the solar system. And so, you know, taxes, the wars. I mean, we know we bombed Syria. We know we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya. We know we've done all these wars because of Jewish power. World War II, World War I, go back to World War I 100 years ago. And you pointed out very rightly that it was Jewish influence in the Wilson administration that got us into the war. And today is tax day. Why do we have an income tax? This was also passed under the Wilson administration. It was these largely Jewish bankers who came to the United States, you know, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, set up shop, and they've been running things ever since. Immigration. Look at the chapter of Culture of Critique, where Professor McDonald spells out very clearly why we had the 1965 Immigration Act, which transformed our country, which took our country away from us. You know, we're talking about like going to war with North Korea. North Korea is a country that's been very, very stable. It was in 1948, it was more than 99% Korean. In 2017, it's more than 99% Korean. You can say that's something positive for their government. What about us? 1948, we were about 90% white.
All the way to 1972, in the last figures I saw. 1972, we were still just about 90% white.
And here today, we know that we're on this demographic trend to become a minority. We're maybe a little over 60% now. depending on how many illegal aliens we have. It's, you know, it's...
Well, think of it this way. Let me give a little thing here. You know, think of it this way. We're a country of 300 million people. We were a country of 25 million back 40, 50 years ago. And the thing is that there has never been as massive a demographic change in the history of the world as rapid as this in a huge area of land. It'd be like China, ancient China, being taken over, where the Chinese go from the Mandarin Chinese to on the way to a minority of their country in, 60, 70 years.
Right.
It's just impossible. There's never been and people talk that you shouldn't say genocide and that you shouldn't say ethnic cleansing, but there's never been as much of a demographic change in a large country in all of human history.
Yeah. I even think back of North and South America after Columbus set sail and connected the new and old world with round trips. It took centuries for the demographic decline of the native population.
And that was a very tiny percentage compared to what the people...
Much smaller numbers, but it took centuries. It took centuries. And here, we're just talking about decades and coast to coast.
And you think about it, and this is by a people who universally, all over the world, the Jewish establishment supports the state of Israel, which is built on totally ethnically cleansing, you know, I mean, amazing, 600,000 Palestinians from their own land, driving them out, not letting them return. They get away with all this, and Israel becomes more Jewish every census. So the same people that are orchestrating this destruction of European mankind are committing massive destruction of the Palestinians and other peoples in the Middle East, just like they're ethnically cleansing right now in Syria. But it's the Syrians that are presented the bad guy, but the Jewish extremists of Israel have been occupying the Golan Heights now since the 60s, right? And building settlements in there, ethnically cleansing, suppressing these people, but the Syrians are the bad guys. Well, what countries is Syria occupying that's not Syrian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
And I just want to repeat, this is something that Gilad Atzmon, your friend, has proposed. The essence of Jewish power is the ability to stifle the discussion of Jewish power. I don't think those might be his words. People have made the same.
Yeah, Jewish power is such that, this is the exact words. He said, Jewish power is such that you can't talk about Jewish power.
Right. And, you know, this is it. So it is a freedom of speech issue. Once we can talk about Jewish power, once we can talk about the Jewish role in World War I or in Syria or in World War II in Iraq, once we can talk about the 1965 Immigration Act as not being liberals and Teddy Kennedy, but being, you know, Republican Senator Jacob Javits and the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and, you know, the New York Times and this, all these various facets of Jewish power.
New York Times, Wall Street Journal, you know, I mean, ABC, NBC, and CBS, they were totally Jewish controlled during all those years that were these pivotal years to the Immigration Reform Act. All completely Jewish controlled, telling us how wonderful, what a blessing that an Immigration Act would be, and the lie that it's not going to affect American demographics when they knew it was a lie. Just like the Iraq War, they had to know it was a lie about the weapons of mass destruction, just like I knew it. Anybody of thought and looked at the facts knew there was a lie. So, yes, that's right. One more thing. Let's go. We only got a couple of minutes. Let's go into the Trump deal. It's so vital now that we raise a voice, that we basically tell Trump, inform him, that these people are not going to be nice to him. He's got to stand up to fight. He's got to stop giving in, because if he doesn't give in, he will be totally like carrion in the middle of the road after these Jewish extremists in their Mack truck are just going to flatten the guy and make him into a, you know, some sort of pancake.
Right. Well, with free speech, I think we can get back Donald Trump. But even if we don't get back Donald Trump, with free speech, we're going to free somebody else to come along. Or we, with free speech, our own people are going to become so prominent that, you know, if we secure our free speech, we secure our country, we secure our future.
Well, thank you, Dr. Slattery, and thanks for being with me today. And adding the commentary to it. We had a lot to say today, folks, and hope you got the power. But thank you. Okay, folks, listen, we're just about out of time. And what he said about freedom of speech is really a lot of the issue in it. That's why our founding fathers made that the first and most important amendment to our Constitution, freedom of speech. Because without freedom of speech, you don't really have any rights to know about anything. And that's really why the country's been lost, because this Jewish tribalist, racist, supremacist minority has got control over our media. Now, I want to ask you one question before we run out of time. We've only got about a minute or two. And I'm going to ask you a question. You've heard this show today. A lot of you have heard many of my shows, whether you're newcomers or before. A lot of you read my books. Some of you haven't. If you have not read them, please get them and read them and get a deep understanding, especially if you're a leader and activist in this cause. But let me say something to you that's so vitally important. Let me just ask you a question. You've heard a lot of radio shows throughout the alt-right and the right talk about some of the problems, some of the peripheral issues, the problem, like there's so many. There, for every one show talking about these basic issues, there's 1,000 talking about the problems, like the immigration problem, or if you're against the abortion problem, or talking about the gun control or the confiscation of guns problem. Is there any program like today's show? Isn't this a great show? I mean, I'm so enthusiastic. We got a lot of truth out today. Is there any show that you listen to that is more powerful in explaining and motivating people on really fighting for our people's heritage and our values and fighting against this Jewish power, which is not only a threat to Europeans, but to all the world, because my God, the rest of the world suffered too. The Jewish power has affected all people in the world. Is there any program? Is there anybody you listen to that's more effective, and anybody has a program that's more effective in exposing this? Let's cut the music for a second. I'm almost done. I'll just ask you that question. Now, if you think this program's effective and it really brings it together for people to understand in a decent way, and it presents it in a way, too, that is not hateful, but is very, very powerful and motivating for truly people that love human rights. It is the message that can reach not only you and motivate you who know the whole truth, and a lot of you do, but also bring your parents, your friends, your family to the truth, because it's expressed in a way that's so sensible, but also so value enriched. I mean, it's something that people understand and believe in and get emotional about positively. So if you like this, remember, we're on economic lockdown right now. I mean, they're trying to smother us economically. I'd appreciate it. We're trying to pay the bills this month and catch up on a few months right now because of this effort. They've demonetized me on YouTube. I'd appreciate those of you who can. I'm not asking anybody who doesn't have much money or can't pay their own bills to do anything. But those of you who can, please, every one of you who can, do something. Go to davidduke.com. Give us a contribution. Give us a gift toward this work while you can. You might not be even able to in a few weeks if they have their way. They're making all sorts of constrictions on us now. I love you. Be back again tomorrow. Until then, just keep thinking free, folks. We're going to win this battle, and I appreciate your support of this work. Bye-bye now.